Good morning. I'm so glad you got out today. I know there's a lot of snow coming, and I'm really proud of you for coming here and spending the first part of your day with us. If you didn't realize during that video, that little word we were beeping, that fake curse word, was simply money, because our series is called, I forget what it's called, but we're saying, why don't we say money in church, right? We should write this stuff down. So anyway, I have to tell you a quick story. Last night, my girls were here, and they were sitting in the back, and we went out to dinner after and talked about the message a bit, and they said, Mom, don't you just wish we could all be like Allie? Don't you wish we could just be as excited as she is about everything that God has called her to be? And I just agree. I'm really excited that Allie is part of our team. So anyway, this morning we're going to be talking through this series. And as we did, we talked about don't say beep in church. And so each of those little symbols of our fake curse word is sort of the summary of that week's message. That first one, that number sign Mike shared with us last week about how money needs to be in its right place. Where we need to realize that God is the ultimate owner and the ultimate giver. And today I'm going to look at that number sign. And so I'm just going to ask you a question first. Have you ever thought what the magic number for you is? What's that magic number? What's the number that would change everything? Is it $1,000? I think if I went to Kids Harbor and said, would $1,000 change everything? They'd say, yeah. But what is it for you? Is it 10,000? Is it a million? See, the funny thing about that magic number is that it's never enough. Mike shared a little bit about that last week, didn't he? There are people who have won the lottery, and they use that money to bless those that they love and to invest in things that they care about. And there are others who would then say at the end of their life that money was a curse. They ended up worse with that money. They ended up in debt and in pain. They often went broke and were worse off than before they won all that money. Well, today I want to start with a scripture that God has put on my heart. It's from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5. I want you to look at it with me. And so today we want to know that the magic number, it just doesn't exist, but that God who made you and loves you has a great plan, and he does not want to have anything in the place that rightfully belongs to him. It says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. God said, I will never fail you. I'll never abandon you. See, this verse that is quoted in Hebrews goes back to the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is a book in the Old Testament where Moses is standing with the people of Israel and he can see the promised land and he is not going. And so he's speaking to Joshua and he's saying, Joshua, these are the most important things. Don't forget. And he said, don't forget this. God gave us this promise. I will never, ever fail you and I will never abandon you. And so to start today, we need to know that that truth is true. God is with us and he is for us and he loves us. He is the ultimate owner and the ultimate giver. And money is simply a tool that God gives us to steward and advance his kingdom. It just needs to be in its rightful place. And we need to recognize who we are. We are stewards. We're people who the resources have been put in our hands just to do what God has asked us to do, to care for what God has placed in our hands, knowing that he's the ultimate owner and the ultimate giver. And when we believe that, we become people who can give freely. And that's part of why our church is here. We want to be people who invest our time and our talent and our treasure into the kingdom of God. But I know some of you are sitting here and you feel like every time I come to church, they talk about money. And I want you to know, when Jesus spoke, Mike told us this last week, he spoke of nothing more than the kingdom of God. But second to that, he spoke about money, and there's a reason. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Don't we want our hearts to be overflowing with joy the way Allie is saying? I want everyone to know Jesus. I want him to come to this church where I have found love and peace and joy. And when that's true, when we know that God loves us and he knows that our peace and our joy are found in him when we seek him and his kingdom first, then we want to invest these treasures into his kingdom. So even though Jesus often talked about money in parables and in his teaching, for some reason we've thought of it as sort of a dirty word, a curse word, not to be spoken of in church. And you ever thought, why? Why do we speak about money and giving in such hushed tones? I know for some of us it's because we've seen greed. We've seen people take advantage of other people, but maybe it's simply you like to keep your finances private. No matter what the reason is, the truth is there can be a disconnect between our spiritual lives and the way we view and treat money. See, I know this is true, and I also know this is true, that there can be a disconnect between our emotional health and our spiritual health. And when we get them together, God is able to recreate us and use us in a mighty way. I've seen God use this truth in my life, and that's why I love to talk about being generous. because we are called to love God with our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, all of who we are. God said that both in the Old Testament, Jesus repeated it when he was here. So instead of thinking of money as something to talk about in a hushed tone, I hope that we continue to say, Lord, will you help me to be generous? Will you help me to be someone who loves to give freely? But before I continue, I want to look at an important verse. It's found in the book of Romans. Paul was speaking to the people of Rome, and he said this verse to them, but it's still true of us. In chapter 8, verse 1, he said, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation here. There is no guilt, and there is no shame. The next few weeks, we will be talking about money, but we are doing it for your joy because God is after your joy. But if you're uncomfortable right now, sitting here, hearing the word money over and over again, I want you to press into that. I want you to ask God, God, why does talking about money and using the resources for your kingdom, why does that make me feel uncomfortable? And to remember what Jesus said, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So each week we want to do something really silly. We want to say money in church. So you ready? On the count of three. One, two, three.
Money.
Oh my gosh, way better than last night. I think they were asleep. So when you think about money, what do you think of? I thought of my first paycheck. Do you remember your first paycheck? I can remember. I went home and told my girls the very outfit I bought with my first paycheck. But my first job, one of my first jobs was at the Yum Yum Bakery. So we're in New England. Does anyone remember the Yum Yum Bakery? Thank you. Last night, no one was remembering this. I loved working for the Yum Yum Bakery because I got free food. And now it was only sugar, but they made the best like chocolate walnut frosted brownies ever. And I got to decorate gingerbread and I got to write on cakes. And my girls want me to tell you the truth that I did not say last night. I spelled the word congratulations wrong on everybody's cake until my very last day. I thought there was a D in it. So everybody who got a cake from me in 1987 was getting congratulations. They're like, Mom, why didn't you tell that story? Because it's embarrassing. But back then when I was working at Yum Yum Bakery, I was making $3.75 an hour and I got a raise to $4 an hour. And I can't tell you how excited I was because that meant every 15 minutes I made a dollar. And that was really exciting. And so if you could have asked me back then, what's the magic number? I would think $5, maybe $10 an hour, that would change everything. And the truth is there's never enough, is there? Because eventually I made that $10 an hour and there were still more things to buy than there was money. And the truth is if we believe that money can keep us safe or make us happy, then for all intents and purposes, money has become our God. And God is so clear, have no other gods before me. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if anything else tries to move into that place, we lose our peace and our joy. Or worse, we get a false peace, don't we? That we have enough, we're secure, we're okay. Honestly, just yesterday, right outside my house in Bedford, New Hampshire, there was an earthquake. Like, there is no way to be secure. There's no way to have enough money. But the good news is God will never fail us. He will never abandon us. He is always with us. So when I started to prepare for this message, I started to think about where money impacted my life. And I thought of one of my first jobs a little later than the Yum Yum Bakery. I worked for a man who owned a small family business. And he decided that he wanted to take his decades of checkbook registers and put them into the computer. And so my job was simply to enter data for hours at a time. And I have such a vivid memory of this. He came in, it was Christmas time, So This Is Christmas by John Lennon was playing. I can remember where I was sitting looking out a window, and he sat next to me, and he said, those checkbooks are proof of my life, and I wonder what they say about me. And I think the reason this is so vivid for me is because I think some years he thought those checkbooks said he was good and valuable. The money all added up. But some years, I think the numbers didn't add up, and he did not understand the value of his life those years. And I know some of you, checkbooks aren't even a thing. My girls were insulted that I said that. But I know we're using debit cards or maybe even the envelope system. But at the end of the year, do you ever do this? Do you just look back and wonder, where did all that money go? Where did it go? But your money is not your identity. You are who God says you are. But sometimes we get to the end of the year and maybe we spent a little too much on Christmas and we realize we now owe more than we make. We have debt. And debt is simply the state of owing. And sometimes we think of it as owing money, but I guarantee today that if someone comes and shovels these 3 feet of snow for you, you're going to feel like, hey, I owe you one, right? Debt can be anything, a service, money. But when it comes to debt with money, how do we avoid living in debt? How do we avoid living in debt? Andy Stanley is one of my favorite pastors, and he wrote a book on money, and I love this quote. He said, How do you say enough in a world that has fine-tuned its messaging to make you continually dissatisfied with everything you own? My husband had a grandma who lived out in upstate New York, and she lived in a little trailer. And what was the best part about visiting her is it was like a time capsule of 1975. She had like the pretty Avon perfume bottles on her windowsill, and everything was avocado green because she didn't get bought into this lie that every single thing was no longer valuable when it wasn't cool. And so you stepped in and she didn't replace her bedspread just because it wasn't the right color. And the carpeting was the same and everything was the same. She hadn't heard these messages that we constantly struggle with. How do we say enough in a world that has fine-tuned its messaging to constantly make us dissatisfied with everything we own? It's a struggle, isn't it? I mean, honestly, even as we look at the colleges my girls are going to pick, how do we say enough? How do we say, this is the one God wants for you, it's enough? And for you, it might be a car. Or just some new shoes. How do we say enough? And so as I began to prepare for today, I realized that if I could say anything to these kids like Jeff that have grown up in my children's ministry and are getting ready to make some really big life decisions, how do I help them to see that what we think about debt matters? And again, I want to start with that reminder, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Allow the truth of God to set you free. So when I thought of the word debt, I want to redeem it. Here's just four letters with three phrases I want you to remember as you leave today. That the D stands for discern. If you're taking notes, this is an easy way to remember it. E is for enough. And the BT says to be thankful. And when we can make these true in our lives, we can allow God to have his rightful place. So the first word is discern, and that just means when do we stop and just be still and ask God, God, what do you want me to do with these resources you've given me? E is, do we realize we've been given enough? Do we believe that limits are a gift from God? And then finally, do we know how to be thankful, to not be constantly looking for the next great thing? And so that's what I want us to do. I want us to be able to be in a place where we rest. And we believe in this truth, God will never fail us. He will never, ever leave us. Did you love that song? The God of angel armies is always by your side. So I'm going to start today in the book of 1 Timothy. We'll look at it a little bit more next week, but this is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Is that your prayer today? Lord, I want to be content. Now, when was the last time you saw a Super Bowl commercial that said that, right? You've got enough. Don't worry. Don't buy anything else. So this is the phrase I've been impacted with as I began to look at this message. It's, if you have an appetite, a desire for something, it continues to grow the more you feed it. The more you decide to try to take care of that, you want more and more and you get more and more, it doesn't go away. The more you feed an appetite, the more it grows. This is the hard thing to do, but easy to remember. To diminish an appetite, you have to starve it. To diminish an appetite, you have to starve it. You have to say, no, I have enough. Now, many of you might have thought, like me when I read this thing, when I read this verse, hey, appetite, food, right? How do I say no? How do I say enough? And honestly, most of the days, I'm fine during the day. It's at night when I'm tired that I start to eat even though I'm not hungry. And I realized that this was true with money. That there are days when I am so content, and then there are days when I'm bored, or I'm sad, or I'm angry. And the reason I'm smiling, again, my girls are out here, and they're like, Mom, you just don't tell the truth. So here's the truth. When my girls were little, my husband would play golf on Monday nights, and I guess in my anger, what I did is I would take my girls to Target, and we would go shopping. And so they're like, how come you don't ever tell the real story? So how about you? Do you ever just do something that you're like, this is not for the right reason? I shouldn't have gone shopping to Target on Monday nights when I had enough. I shouldn't eat at night when I'm bored, thinking food is my comfort. Appetites, you know, they're not a bad thing. God created them. They're what give us our zeal and our joy. But the problem with appetites is sin has distorted them. And our feelings are just terrible filters for making decisions. Feelings are indicators, Lisa Turker says, but they're not truth. And we need to recognize, why am I doing this thing? Why am I buying this thing when I have enough? Why am I feeling like I don't have enough? See, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that our responses to our appetites will determine the direction and quality of our life if we don't learn what discernment means. So what is discernment? Discernment is acting with wisdom. It's one of the reasons we really, really want you to join one of our journey groups. We want you to be surrounded by people who are going to point us to the Word of God, who are going to pray for us, who are going to help us make right choices. Because it only comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. So a prayer we can just say simply is, Lord, would you help me become a person who gives freely so that I can help other people find their way back to you? Because we know deep inside that our appetite for stuff and for security has the potential to keep us from being generous. If we feed an appetite, it grows. Satisfying it does not diminish it. It just expands it. Because really, think about yourself. We all have something. How many cars or shoes, when my girls were little, how many Polly Pockets are enough? We all have something that we're going to struggle with to say, Lord, help me to say enough. I remember when I was in my 20s, I lived with my roommate in college, and we left our dorm for a studio apartment, and we thought it was really cool. It was furnished with IKEA-type furniture. And after a while, it stopped being enough, and I started dreaming about what it'd be like to just have one bedroom, because our couch was our bedroom. And eventually, I married my husband, and we had a really beautiful little apartment in Nashua. But after a while, it stopped being enough, and we started to long for a home. And when I bought our home, we had friends over, and I said to them, I will never want one more inch of space. This is enough. And then 5 years later, we built an addition. And that is the problem. How do we get to a place where we say, this is enough? There's always something more. It's something I've had to teach my children. There will always be people who have that thing that you want. How are you going to be okay with saying, Lord, what you have given me is enough, and I want to be thankful? Well, we need to know that as our income increases, it will never be enough. Generosity is the antidote to the disease that Andy Stanley calls affluence. Right? Affluence. We're always looking to do more and be more, and it will never be enough. And if you realize that today, that is a fantastic first step, to just realize that one of the beautiful gifts God has given us is his limits. And he gives us limits because he loves us. But we need his help to discern. And what I love about Scripture is we get to look at the life of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those Gospels, show us what it was like when Jesus was here on earth. And when I began to realize that Jesus never did everything, it brought me great peace. Do you know that? That there were people that Jesus disappointed. There were people that he did not heal. You and I are not able to do everything. There are things we're going to have to say no to. We might be given many, many opportunities, and some of them are for someone else. And it is only through the discernment of the Holy Spirit that we're going to be able to learn what is our yes to say and what are the no's we're to say. It's one of the things I'm working on with my girls right now is you start to take those steps of picking a college and a job. What is it that God has for you? Not what those around you have. And that's hard, isn't it? But what is it that God has called for you? The Apostle Paul speaks of this in 1 Timothy. He says, contentment is great gain. Contentment is simply understanding what enough looks like for you and for me. We look at it together. True godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Of course, when Paul is writing it, as Mike said, there's no refrigerator, there's no closet of clothes. Jesus himself said, if you have two coats, share one. What does enough look like? And when we realize that, that is great wealth. Contentment with godliness is great gain. See, we cannot put our trust in money. It will not last. In my own lifetime, I have seen money collapse twice. In 1987, when I was in college, I had friends whose families had saved for years to send them to college. And then in October of 87, the stock market crashed, and they did not return to college in January. And then even more vividly to me is sitting on the bed in my bedroom watching CNBC September 29th, 2008. And the stock market was ticking down and down and down and down. I had to leave at 2 o'clock to get my girls. And it seemed to me that this was impossible to overcome. It seemed like the world had fallen apart. And these are not the first two times, and they won't be the last. There is no way that we can put our trust into something that is fleeting. And that's why God's word is here to teach us the truth. He will never leave us. He will never fail us. And I think that is one of the most important lessons we need to learn as we become people who live fully and love deeply and give freely. God, in his great love, has put boundaries in our lives. He has put limits. And those limits are there for us to understand that they are for our good and for his glory. He has the right to say to us, this is enough. He made you on purpose for a purpose. And he places those limits in our lives for our good, but most important, for his glory. So why do you think we need enough resources? I think it's to protect us from the pain of life. We wrongly think that if we can just get this or that, we'll somehow be safe. I know that fear is a real thing, and it's magnified when we look for security in something that is impossible of providing it. But what does God say all throughout Scripture? 365 times, one time for each day, do not be afraid. When Jesus was here, what did he say? He said, look at the birds in the air. Look at these lilies of the field. See how I take care of them? How much more will I take care of you? Do you believe that today? That is our first step, believing the love of God. And debt occurs when we go past the limits that we've been given. So how do we live in this life with the reality of debt? See, I was surprised as I began to prepare for this. Debt itself is not a sin. It's not something God or Jesus ever speak to and say, don't do it. I think it's a reality of life that some seasons there will be times when we have to work harder and say no to things. But at the same time, Scripture is clear, do not be beholden to other people. They lord it over us. Is there anything that takes away your peace more than being in debt and worrying, how will I take care of these things? So today, first, discern. Ask God for wisdom. What is it that you are saying yes and no to me about? And give me the courage to do it. The E, enough. Believe that the limits in your life are a gift from God. And then finally, to be thankful. That is the cure for coveting. See, these 10 commandments that God gave. First one was, have no other God before me. And that last one is, never covet. Never long for what the person around you has. And the cure for that is to be thankful. It's to walk around your own home and to start to realize, hey, I have blankets. I have a shovel. I know it's snowing, but I have two strong arms. How do we get to that place? It's through the power of God. It's one of the reasons we encourage you to come each week here. To worship with the Lord God, to be reminded of his great love, and to be surrounded by people who will speak truth into your life. I can't help but look out and see my beautiful friend Pam, who has spent the last few months walking alongside our friend Arlene as she passed away recently. And Arlene said to her, you know what? This church, Harbor of Hope, it mattered. It mattered. It helped me find my way back to God. This is why we exist. This is why we invest our time and our talent and our treasure into the kingdom of God, because it matters. These things will not be rusting or destroyed. These will not come in and steal it. So let's ask God, God, would you give me the wisdom to do what you're asking me to do? And would you give me the courage to do it? And that will only happen when our identity is found in the one and only Jesus who loves us. We cannot make our identity anything else. Especially not things that are lost or rusted or thrown away, not our cars or our homes or our bank accounts. Money and debt were never intended to take first place in our heart. That place belongs to God alone. He is our treasure. And his kingdom is where we need to invest our resources. When debt takes first place, we begin to worry and scheme and we're unable to rest. But when we allow God and his kingdom to be first, and we place all that we are and all that we have into his hands, we begin to take steps of faith. And as we believe God, we take more steps of faith. And that is what allows us to become people who live fully and love deeply and give freely. And that light that we bring into the dark world helps other people find their way back to God. And so as your executive pastor, I want you to know we take money very seriously here. We have no debt. And we took our budget this year back to the 2011 place because we want to use every single resource here very carefully as a steward for the Most High God. We want you to know that every gift you give, we take very seriously. But at the same time, we have no worries about talking about money. We want you to know that when you invest here, you do things like you pay for these lights. You pay for the Cheerios the children are eating. You pay for the rent. But you also allow us to send people out and tell people the good news. So when we talk about money, we don't want to ever manipulate anyone. We want to be clear that we know it's the provision of God and the generosity of people who call Harbor home that allows Harbor to exist. It's been true since day one. There were generous people who planted Harbor, and I'm going to share more about that next week, but it is God's provision that allows us to be a place where people find their way back to him. So as we look today at generosity, what does it look like for you? I know some of you are sitting here today and you're thinking, Kelly, I would love to be generous. I love Allie's story, but I don't even have that $20. You do not know what my life looks like. And so I want to share a little bit about my life with you. Not that I am a financial expert, but I am an example of the provision of God. I grew up in Lowell. My family was very poor. I've shared that before, but I never shared this. The summer before high school, my parents decided to sell everything they had and move to Hawaii with an uncle. Turned out he wasn't telling the truth. There was no job for us. And 2 weeks later, we had to move back home completely penniless. We had to move into the church parsonage, and I was starting high school 2 weeks later with no clothes, not even a pair of sneakers. My parents had no jobs and no opportunity. But the church stepped in. And God provided clothes and a job, and by Christmas that year, we had a home. And that's what the church is intended to be, a place where we are God's hands and feet, caring for one another. Did you ever think about that little boy that Mike talked about last week, who brought his lunch to Jesus? So I began to think about him this week. He couldn't have been the only person with 5,000 men and women and children who had some food. But he saw in Jesus something the people around him weren't seeing. See, that little boy in his lunch bag had enough for himself. But he knew that Jesus was who he said he was, and he brought that gift. And what did Jesus do? He took that little gift of some bread and some fish, and he brought it to God, and he thanked him. And then he broke it, and he multiplied it, and there was enough. No matter how small your gift, it is enough. You invested in the kingdom of God, and he will multiply it, and more people will find their way back to him. You cannot invest it anywhere else. That has an eternal impact. So Harbor, as we leave here today, we're going to have some quiet moments, and I want you to think about, God, what next step are you calling me to? See, some of you today, we talk about Jesus, and you've never taken that first step to allowing him to be the Lord of your life. So maybe today you know that God is gently calling you to him. And in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you want to learn more about that and say that prayer or just talk to somebody about Jesus, that's why we're here. You can write on your connection card or come out or talk to Emma or Allie or John or I. Some of you, you realize, you know what? Discerning is something you just never thought of till today. And you know that your next step is to ask God, Lord, what percentage of my income is generous to invest in your kingdom? Or my time or my treasure or my talent? Maybe today you're going to write down these words, limits are a gift from God. And when we believe that, we know that this is not something that is just a one-day lesson, is it? For the rest of our Christian lives, limits are something we will struggle with because we constantly have to battle around the limits that reveal our self-will, our rebellious nature, and our desire to run the world. Are we going to leave here today believing God is God and I am not? And that these limits are for my good, but most importantly, for his glory? And then finally, we realize that the only way to diminish an appetite is to starve it, to say, no, I have enough, and I am choosing today to be thankful. I will spend this snow day walking around and making lists of all the mighty gifts God has given me, what our life would look like if we lived lives like that. So when we look at this number sign again, I know some of you, Instagram, Facebook, you weren't seeing a number sign, were you? You're seeing hashtag. So how about hashtag today, be content, right? Hashtag be content. Realize that God has given us enough. There is no place that's going to long for the part of your heart that God wants to be filled with him more than what you're seeing on Facebook and Instagram. So choose to be thankful. And as I finish today, I think of the hymn that God placed in my heart as I began to prepare for this. Those of you who grew up in church like me, right, remember it, that Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. And I owe a debt I can never pay, but because of his great love, amazing grace, is the song that I freely sing. Do you leave here today knowing that? Because that is the only reason to be together, to remind each other of the gospel truth, that sin has separated us from the God who made us, that the words we think and the things we say and the thoughts and the actions that we do have separated us from a perfect God, but Jesus, in his great love for us, came, and his precious blood has covered over every sin and reconciled us to our precious Father. And now we know this truth. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, one more time as we leave. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful that you have been so very generous to us. You gave your one and only Son that whoever believes will not perish, but have eternal life. God, our prayer as a community right now is that we would be people who give freely. And we know that is only possible when the starting point is this. Oh, how wonderful is the love of God. Lord, would we believe that right now? Would we believe that you will never leave us? You will never fail us. We can trust you. We can trust you with every single gift you've given us. We can trust you with our time, with our talent, with our treasures. And so, Lord, we know that the only reason you talked about money is to advance the kingdom of God. May we never, ever use it in a manipulative way, but may we talk boldly about it because we want to advance your kingdom. Lord, right now there are people among us who have people they love who are far from God. Lord, would you help us to speak truth and life over them that they may find their way back to you? And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.